Your trusted voice for news is News Talk 1120 KMOX. KMOX HD St. Louis. It's 7 o'clock in Mid-America.
Hey, this is Christine Niffin, and welcome to Relationships 101, because relating isn't always easy. Listen, thanks for tuning in tonight. Boy, you know, I don't know when summer officially begins. I don't even know if it began yet, but it feels like it began. It's very, very hot here in the Midwest, and I know KMOX is in 44 states, so I don't know if you're suffering or dealing with this. I just got back from Kansas City today. It was warm there, and it is warm here today, but so much for that, and on to things. Hey, this is Relationships 101. This is a show all about relating to people. We do a lot of things that deal with romantic relationships and problems within couples and in your romantic relationship, how to talk, how to validate, those kind of things. But other very important relationships that we need to cover is something that we're going to do this evening. We're going to do families, family dynamics, and what's going on with families. Here is the intro. In many homes across America, children, rather than parents, control family life and are making a mess of it. Mornings are fraught with upset and tears. Homework is a nightmare. Mealtimes are a headache. And bedtime, forget about it. The timeout method parents have relied on for nearly two decades rarely works. Tonight, we're going to be talking with child psychologist Dr. Beth Grosshans, and she concludes that the troubling behaviors children so often exhibit, from unruliness to anxiety, yes, not just unruliness, to anxiety, are often the result of how much power parents have turned over to them. I think this is a great book. I'll go on and on about that in a minute. Beth A. Grosshans, Ph.D., is a clinical child psychologist, and she is in private practice in Princeton, New Jersey. She has over 15 years of clinical experience in working with children and their families. After receiving her master's and doctoral degrees from The Ohio State University, she interned at Children's Hospital Boston and the Judge Baker Children's Center of Harvard Medical School. Tonight, we're going to be talking to Dr. Grosshans, and we're going to be talking about sort of a rampant, as that said, a rampant problem going on. I mean, you've seen it, everybody. We've got TV shows, Nanny 911, I don't know, the Nanny Rescue. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff out there, because this is a really hard, problematic thing that's going on for parents. We've got ever-increasing children diagnosed with bipolar, behavior problems, oppositional defiance disorder. Hopefully, we're going to clear up some of this. And anybody out there who's dealing with this frustration and these fights at mealtime and all these different things, and bedtime, as we said, and you know, problems in the family with sort of who's in control and who's not in control. This is an important hour for you, and this is a great book for you to pay attention to. So the first hour, we're going to be talking to Dr. Beth Grosshans, and then the second hour, as usual, we're going to be opening up the phones, 314-436-7900 and 800-925-1120, the second hour of the show, to take your questions having to do with this or all things pertaining to relationships. We always want to hear from you. You're listening to Christine Niffin. This is Relationships 101, and we'll get right to it. Dr. Grosshans, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm glad to be with you.
Great. Listen, you know, I'm a Scorpio. People hear me say that. We don't give false flattery. So I must say, in all honesty and genuineness, this is a really excellent book. There's a little review, if you will, on the back cover that says, if you think there are more parenting books than we need, read this one. I don't know who needs it more, contemporary parents or the psychologists who advise them. Well, I'm a therapist in private practice, and I can tell you what, I love this, and this is going to become sort of the new Bible for parenting for me.
Oh, wow. Well, thank you so much.
Absolutely. I absolutely mean that. What's great about this is you walk the parents through exactly what to do. I mean, I specialize in couples counseling. I deal with the bit about how a lot of times parents aren't on the same page and they're not disciplining in the same way, but you really provide an excellent blueprint for what to do. So in your opening, you know, section on the book, you do say that too many homes across America, there's what you call an imbalance of family power, or an IFP, but we'll call it the whole thing here for the listeners tonight. There's an imbalance of family power where the child's taken the lead and is in essence in control. You say, and I quote, when children run a family, they ruin a family and themselves along with it. Tell us a little bit about all that and what's going on.
Well, it all really, I think, has been started by the parenting culture that has been telling parents for at least the past 40 years that they needed to focus on talking, put an emphasis on how their children were feeling, and of course the exalted self-esteem, to be so careful not to hurt their kids' self-esteem. And parents have become intimidated about hurting their children, and they've lost their way in terms of leading them at the same time. So really, parents are inadvertently transferring power to their kids, and they don't even know it. So unfortunately, we're talking about a problem tonight where parents are aware that they have behavioral problems with their kids, but they oftentimes are not aware of what's driving it.
No, they aren't. And listen, this may sound funny or ridiculous, but once in a while, I have actually advised parents to put on Nanny 911. And I don't know if you think that's crazy or not, but she does many of the things you sort of talk about. You know, you have to stay consistent, do not raise your voice to their intensity level and different things like that. What do you think about shows like that?
Well, I think that they clearly portray how much trouble families are in and how much help parents really are needing.
Right.
I think I always cringe a bit. It's hard to watch kids being portrayed. We see the kids as so shockingly bad.
I know, they're smacking their parents in the legs.
Exactly.
Or something. It is shocking.
So it's hard to watch, and I always, one of the things that I'm very aware of as a child psychologist is let there be no doubt that even though these kids seem like they're so awful and like bad kids, they're really suffering too.
Certainly.
These children that are caught in the traps of too much power, they never use it well, and they have no idea what's going on, let alone how to get out of it. And so often, parents, when they come into my office, of course, they're frustrated, they're fit to be tied, but they have a perspective that's almost suggesting that if the kid weren't so bad, then they wouldn't have these problems, so that they kind of lay the trouble at the feet of the child.
Sure, we have the identified child or the identified patient, as they always like to say in the family therapy dynamics. That's the whole problem. If he or she would act right, everything would be fine.
And everything would be fine. And, of course, our children will never lead us out of the trouble. We have to lead them out of the trouble. But the good news is they want to be led out of it. They may protest at first, of course. But in the end, they are so much more relieved when their parents are competent and confident and are in charge of the family. Kids have no business being in charge. They're way in over their heads when that happens, and that's when the mess begins.
Yes, I think they don't need to be in charge. They're too young for that. I agree. Let me ask you this question. You know, you've heard that sort of blaming the victim type of phraseology. Do you get anybody thinking that? Because you make it very clear in the book. I think you say something to the effect of they're very loving parents and very devoted parents, but they don't realize that how they're contributing to it. Like you explained, the four different parenting styles that sort of lend themselves to keeping this condition going. You know, do you get anybody who's resistant or has a problem with your explanation of what this is?
Well, I have to say, of the four parenting styles, as you said, I talk about the four most common ways right now that parents are transferring power to their kids.
Okay.
And those ways are the pleasers, which are basically, in just a very short description, they're the over-parents. They over-attend, over-explain, over-reason. They're too focused on kids' wants, not just kids' needs. The pushovers take it to another level, and they're really very deferential to their children, and they end up somewhat insecure. There's really a pretty strong insecurity underlying their parenting, so they often parent from a point of weakness rather than strength.
Okay.
They're pleading with their kids and begging them for their cooperation. Forcers have a stronger, almost a bully style. They're very clear that parents need to be in the lead, but it's their style of the way that they extend their power that gets them into so much trouble.
And is that their ego getting in there as well?
Well, I think that they really just come from a mindset. Oftentimes, forcers have been raised by forcer parents themselves. They're often in a culture of police enforcement, law enforcement, firemen, military, heavily represented in those communities where
Sure.
there really is just kind of a culture that supports that style. And so they're the boss. But the trouble that happens there is that rather than transferring a respectful and loving power that children will take in, kids resist this. And they get defiant, and it's almost the kids will dig their heels in, and power struggles are created. That's why it doesn't end up being an effective stance for parents. And then the outliers are the parents who stay on the outside of emotional experience. Now, you'd think that the forcers would be the parenting group that would have be the kind of the most resistant to changing. But my experience over all these years is that it's the pleaser parents. And they're the ones that are the most common today. They're kind of our, kind of the army of parents today, these overdoers and overtalkers. And they are resistant because they are so committed and so deliberate in their parenting. They're trying so hard, and it's so important to them to be good parents, that when they hear that all of this kind of loving, patient consideration that they're extending isn't a good idea, it's very hard for them to swallow.
Yeah, they probably get a little defensive, I would imagine.
They get very defensive. And it takes a little bit more time for the pleasers to kind of put on the new glasses to really see the problem. But inevitably, when parents see, once they hear about the imbalance of family power and they start to see the parent-child relationship through this new lens of power, they get it. And once the light goes on for them, there's really no turning back. Once you see it, you just can't keep making the same errors because you understand so clearly what it is that you've been doing and didn't even realize.
Absolutely. And don't you think it also helps and gives them great relief because once you see it so clearly, it's not really as personal as it feels?
Absolutely. That's such a good point. And that's what helps them to really get on with it. And also because the ways that kids respond to the new parenting techniques happen so rapidly and they see that it has such a positive effect, that the kids are so much happier, they're more settled, they're calmer. If they've had anxiety problems, they literally become stronger inside, they have less anxiety, they're less unruly, and they're more affectionate.
Let me ask you about the anxiety thing for a minute, because that's one of the questions I'm jumping ahead. You know, you talk about the opposition and defiance as well as that anxiety being sort of kingpins of an imbalance in family power. I think a lot of people can certainly get that if there's an imbalance in family power that you can get the opposition and defiance. Explain for our listeners a little bit how that anxiety relates to the imbalance in family power, because I found that interesting and hadn't thought of that before.
Yes, this is often a question that I get, and it is rather new news for people.
Okay.
But what I came across in my practice is that there are kind of two ways that anxiety gets caught up in this whole imbalance of family power issue. One is because just as is tantruming and kind of unruliness and protest, being somewhat tentative and fearful is an absolutely natural part of a child's expression. They are going to say, oh, I don't know if I like the dark, or, oh, the sound of the toilet is too loud, don't flush. So they have these, this is a very expected part of the way kids will express themselves. But for some parents, they overdo their response to that natural childish tentativeness.
Mm-hmm.
And in their overdoing, they inadvertently reinforce the idea to the child that there really is something to be afraid of. And then the anxiety grows. And the more that parents kind of, if a child is, and I'm not talking about when there really is something scary, I'm talking about all of the childish fears and tentativenesses that are based in unreality, that, you know, flushing a toilet is not going to hurt a child. The dark doesn't hurt. It's not, you know, we as parents have to let our better judgment lead our kids. And if we get caught compensating and accommodating for all the childish tentativeness that kids have, we end up reinforcing them, and we bring forward weakness in the child rather than bringing forward their strength.
Which is an excellent point and something that we certainly don't want to do. Listen, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll be talking with Dr. Beth Grossons and her new book, Beyond Timeout, from Chaos to Calm.
Welcome back to Relationships 101 and Christine Niffen on KMOX.
Hey, we're back. You're listening to Relationships 101 on KMOX with Christine Niffen. We are talking to Dr. Beth A. Grossons, PhD. She's a child clinical psychologist. We're talking about her excellent new book, Beyond Timeout, from Chaos to Calm, 5 Steps for Raising Happier Kids. Dr. Grossons, I just a couple of sidebars here before we get back to things, because I'm just curious myself. What do you think, because you talk about how to deal with everything from, you know, sassing back to when your child actually rages, and we're going to get into that and what you do, and you talk about the parental hold and different things like that. But I guess here's my question. What What do you think about the large numbers of kids now being diagnosed as bipolar, and everybody's ADHD, and everybody's bipolar, and everybody's being put on meds? I mean, I think there's a time and place for certain things, but how much do you think is this behavior caused by imbalance of family power? How much do you think is really a lot of that's going on? I mean, it gets confusing for everybody.
It is confusing, and as a clinician, there's something going on. There's no doubt that over the course of the 16 years that I've been in private practice, there are definitely more psychiatrically disturbed kids than before. There's, in the last 8 years, there really has been a significant change, and I'm seeing it firsthand. And these kids with the early onset bipolar disorder, it's a very real and very serious psychiatric disturbance, and it's not caused by IFP. And I really don't know, and I don't think that we as a culture yet have a handle on what it is that's happening to the brains of our children. But the attention deficit disorders, the degree of autism,
right,
the developmental disorders, bipolar disorders, they really are, there's an explosion of these kinds of difficulties. And families, it's very, very sad what's happening. And I don't know how to explain it. But it is a real phenomenon. But then on the other hand, we certainly do have far too many kids who are riddled with flagrant symptomatology, everything from unruliness to all of the very severe anxieties. But when you strip away the imbalance of family power, these kids actually are not psychiatrically disturbed. They're perfectly normal children who have been having all kinds of behavioral disruptions and disturbances that have been fueled by this imbalance of family power. And there's nothing wrong with those kids, and they don't need medication. Many of them don't even need therapy. They just need parents who are capable, competent, and who are in the lead. So the answer to your question is, it's both.
Right.
It really is both. We have, something's happening, as I said, and I'm not sure if it's environmental, if there's something with the medicine. I don't know what it is, but I really have seen a difference in what kids are coming in with psychiatrically. But then there's also this explosion of imbalance of family power.
Yeah, I mean, do you think, I don't want to sound old-fashioned and whatever, but do you think, I mean, I noticed things years ago, working my way in school, I worked at TGI Fridays as a server, and there was the children's menu at TGI Fridays, and they had a plethora of things. There was the kitty grilled cheese, the hamburger, the hot dog, the pizza bites. Right. I mean, it went on, and
exactly.
I always thought
it's good for them.
Right, right. But I always thought I would witness this parental guilt almost for two parents working. I don't know what it was, but it almost seems like what you talked about in your book. It's wild. I don't want to sound like an old-fashioned parent, but you know, their little son or daughter would order what they wanted, the little kitty grilled cheese or something, come to the table, they wouldn't want it. And I saw this so many times. And usually the mom would be like, sweetie, you don't want that? Well, what else would you like? And then they'd order the kitty hot dog, and then that would come, and once in a while they'd reorder something then if the child wouldn't eat that. I mean, what is that going on?
And then before they even sit down to order, they stand at the table and say, okay, honey, tell mommy where you want her to sit. Where should mommy sit? There is a constant the parents are deferring to kids left and right.
Yes, I mean, it is. And what do you think about this one, too? I've had a lot of parents come in complaining that they have become taxi drivers because they have their children in 80 trillion after-school activities, often overlapping and multiple, and they're taxi drivers. Nobody eats together. There's no quality family. I don't want to sound like an old-fashioned person, but there's no quality time. There's no family time, no meal time together, no anything. Where would you put that frantic pace that people are living in and family units are living in? How does that fit in with all this as well?
Well, there certainly is an element to just how short-changed we all are for time and for patience and for sleep, that it's just that much harder for parents to resist the protests and the harangues of children. When you don't have 2 minutes to think, parents are much more apt to slip into that accommodation and give in and throw up their hands. And it leads to, it really is the slippery slope to IFP. But it also, I think it's a terrible, it's such an unhealthy lifestyle, not just for adults, but our kids are just not ready for all of this time scheduling. And parents get mad at them because they didn't practice enough. They don't have all their sports gear ready and organized. They don't, you know, they miss their homework. There's no way that kids are developmentally prepared to be organized, to be on time, to be so productive, to be scheduled. This is contradictory to what the natural state of being a child is. But then, unfortunately, parents get so angry at them because they're falling short.
Right, and that's such a good point. And then, as someone pointed out to me the other day when I was discussing this book coming up on this show, that, you know, so many colleges, in order to get in a really good college, you had to do all these activities, all these extra things. Do you know what I mean?
It's really a very vicious cycle. The whole culture is just careening off course. And these very colleges that are getting into college these days is so difficult. And so, of course, parents know this, and they're starting from a very young age already with their eye on the college admissions process and trying to kind of groom their kids to be as best candidates as possible. But what's happening, and I've talked to deans of college campuses around the country, and they have all said to me uniformly and with a lot of distress that kids that are coming to college in the last 8 years or so are more unprepared than ever before, not academically and not in terms of the different experiences that they've had. They've gone to Tahiti, to the, you know, to this, or they've gone there to do a civic project or help build a house in Guatemala or whatever, but in terms of their emotional development, in terms of their readiness to be independent, directed adults, they are a mess.
Yes.
And so we have these kids that are kind of very accomplished, but they're hollow inside, and they're not at all prepared for adulthood. So it's really, we're putting emphasis on all the wrong things, and our kids are suffering. They're the victims of all of this misplaced parenting and misplaced focus on performance and achievement.
They are. And listen, we are talking to Dr. Beth Grossons, PhD. She's a child clinical psychologist, author of her new book, Beyond Timeout, from KS.com. When we come back, we're going to be talking about the ladder, the five-step action plan in this book that's going to help you out. We'll be back.
Now, back to Relationships 101 with Christine Niffen on KMOX.
Hey, KMOX reminds you to join the Catholic Charities and Go to Bat for Kids Thursday, July 3rd, when the Cards take on the Mets. For just $20, you can send a needy child to the game. For information, call 314-367-5500 or visit KMOX.com. We are talking to Dr. Beth Grossons. She is author of the new book, and it's a great book for anybody out there struggling with your kids and an imbalance of power. We're talking about her new book, Beyond Timeout, From Chaos to Calm. Dr. Grossons, let me just say this. What you do is you walk the parents or prospective readers through, it is really a roadmap and a blueprint. You take them through the, you call it the ladder, and I quote, you call it a five-step action plan that effectively counters the protests and oppositions of young children and establishes you as, I like this, a respected leader and a loving parent sitting comfortably atop your family hierarchy. I like that. You do some, and I'm just going to do a quick summary because, you know, that's why they need to get the book, because it's great. You know, you go through the asking for cooperation. You know, Jimmy, will you turn off the TV and wash your hands and get ready for dinner? You know, second step, the I mean business. You know, first step, it might be, sweetie, could you wash your hands? Second step, the I mean business reminder, you know, Jim, will you blah, blah, blah. And then you talk about the consequences. If I ask you twice, you have to escort to the bedroom. You talk about the stage of shutting the door and then eventually the parental hold if it gets to that point and the child starts raging. However, what happens is, you know, we can all, as clinicians, I'm talking about myself since I'm not a child psychologist, we can all say things like, hey, never raise your voice to the same intensity level, you know, always stay calm. I think many of us know that, and I think parents can grasp that and have no problem. I think what makes them afraid is the scenarios. And what you do so well is you do this scenario where here's the whole section on one of the steps is walking them to the room. Tell us about your three different things that could happen when you walk a child to the room.
Well, this is really at the heart of going beyond timeout.
Yes.
Because timeout has been the parenting strategy that parents have relied on really for more than the last 20 years. And it's ineffective because it doesn't tell parents what to do when the kids don't cooperate with your directive to go to your room or to go sit on the steps. And really, 8 out of 10 young children don't follow that directive. If they're not following all your other directives, why are they going to follow that one? And so then parents don't know what the heck to do next.
And that's why this book is so great, because that's the part. They can all get those little things. I said, don't raise your, be consistent. If you set a boundary, you have to do it. You can say all that stuff. But their fear is always, but what do I do if I go to the room and he or she runs out of the room?
Exactly.
You know what I mean? That's what they don't know. That you give them every scenario of how to get together on the same page and take care of the issue.
I've been working with families for so many years, and they uniformly come in and they want the same kind of help. They want to know not only what to do, but they want to know what to say. And they've run all of these different scenarios past me for so many years, and I've heard them often enough to know that kids really act out in very predictable ways. There's only about 3 or 4 things that kids routinely do. And once I figured out a way to help parents to respond to those behaviors and contain them and soothe them, and parents were coming back and saying, it worked incredibly. You know, 2 times is all it took, and we have, in the last 2 weeks, changed our family's functioning. So I've been building this technique and honing it and fine-tuning it with families' feedback over the years, and it really does work. It gives parents the exact things to do and say when the kids are protesting, resisting, and even when the kid gets out of control. As you mentioned, I advocate parents moving in and holding their kids, soothing them, offering them the self-control that they're unable to muster in that moment, and helping to ground them and calm down before you let go.
And listen, you know what I loved about that is I love what you said in there. You said that, you know, it's very natural. If your child starts completely out of control, perhaps one of those tantrums that we've seen on Oprah, for instance, when they talk about that topic.
Super nanny. Exactly. These are what you see. And this is really what breaks my heart on the super nanny, because she doesn't obviously employ a parent hold. And when I see these little ones flailing, and she advocates putting them in the naughty corner, and I can't bear it. Because they're not naughty, they are out of control, and they need us most at that time to go close to them and hold them and soothe them and reassure them. I'm not talking about doing it in a reinforcing manner, but I am talking about doing it in a way, I mean, that's when our kids need us the most. And so many of the parenting advice today tells parents to walk away from kids in that state. Ignore the tantrum, quote unquote.
Yes, don't give any positive attention to the negative behavior.
But I think this is so ill-advised. No child is going to be able to somehow dig deep and get this self-control from within. All it ends up being is that they just cry themselves out where they have no more strength. And I don't see that as necessarily a positive or a constructive way for this to resolve.
Yeah, that's one of the things I really liked. One of the statements I really liked in your book is that when they're raging like that, which might be the point where parents almost give up and go, oh, just wear yourself out. You say that's when they need you the most, and that's when you should be there to hold and soothe them. And you just don't see people say that much.
No, and you just don't. And really, the kids will let you know with how quickly their behavior changes that what you're doing is exactly what they're needing and wanting. Within, I guarantee parents, if you have a child who is needing this kind of parental assistance, if you offer the hold and follow the soothing way of reassuring them and settling them, within 2 or 3 holds, you'll see dramatically different behavior in your child.
Excellent advice. Let me go into one more thing. You have lots of little sections in there with these parenting tips and things people could do, well, positive reframing, things they could do better, not things that they're doing wrong. I like one of the things you say in there. You, and I quote, this is so good. This is after you've actually completed, they go to the room. Let's say they've got the time out. You've got that all worked out. You let them out at a time that is of your desiring and your choosing, not theirs. You say one of the things, the don'ts. Don't launch into a post-disciplinary analysis after your child has completed the designated time in his room. In other words, don't say, honey, do you understand what you did wrong? Or do you know why mommy had to put you in the timeout? Now, see, that's interesting because I think that's what so many people want to naturally do because they almost don't want to be blamed. Like, sweetie, do you understand? Or we're trying to make them little adults, or I'm not sure. Yeah. It seems normal to want to wish you could sort of have that conversation with your child. But you're saying, you say that question is problematic for several reasons. What kind of things are problematic about trying to have this post-disciplinary analysis with your child?
Well, number one, it puts way too much of an overblown emphasis on parent what the little discipline interaction means. It's, of course, natural, normal, and necessary for parents to be directing, redirecting, and correcting their children. And if we have to go back in and kind of say in a somewhat reconciliatory way, honey, do you understand why mommy had to do this? You know, it really is exaggerating the whole import of it. Do you see what we're making too big a deal out of it, quite frankly. And we're also then giving the message to the kids that if we had our preference, we would never do it.
Right.
Do you understand why mommy had to put you in your room? Do you know mommy still loves you? Do you understand what you did wrong?
Right,
and
yes.
It also then puts the emphasis back on the talking. And for young children in particular, this whole prioritizing how to talk to kids so kids will listen, if that sounds familiar.
Sure.
That has really been what has, I think, put parents on this slope, the slippery slope to IFP, imbalance of family power, because the message to parents that you can somehow talk your kids into cooperating is just a false notion. It requires action. It's these self-control, respect, and cooperation are action-based strengths. Kids are shaped into those abilities through parental action, not through parental talking.
Absolutely. We're talking to Dr. Beth Grosshans, Ph.D., about her new book, Beyond Time Out, from KS to Com. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we will finish up.
Welcome back to Relationships 101 and Christine Niffin on KMOX.
Hey, we're back. You're listening to Relationships 101. Listen, we have just about 30 seconds here. Dr. Grosshans, listen, I want to thank you for being on Relationships 101 tonight. Let me say this. How can people get a hold of you if they need to, or where can they pick up your book, Beyond Time Out, From Chaos to Calm?
Beyond Time Out is primarily available at Barnes & Noble. They can buy it, barnesandnoble.com, amazon.com. You can go to my website. You can either get to me through the Beyond Time Out site or drbethgrosshans.com. And my contact information is on the site.
You got it. Listen, thank you very much. This is an excellent book. I highly recommend it. And I think this is going to be very helpful to listeners and everybody else.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Thank you very much. Listen, we want to hear from you. We are opening the calls up this next hour. We're going to be taking emails. As always, send those to relationshipcoach@yahoo.com. We answer those each week. We're going to be taking your phone calls after the news next hour, 314-436-7900, 1-800-925-1120. Here's what we want to know. What do you think? Let's hear your opinion about what's going on with families these days. I think Dr. Grosshans has an excellent point about an IFP, imbalance of family power. I think that's an excellent thing. But we want to hear from you. What's going on? What trials and tribulations are you having? What struggles? Talk to us about what's going on with families. What you think about this? What you think's causing the problems in families these days? And as always, call us about all things having to do with relationships, because this is free, solid, helpful advice. We'll be back.